Once again, welcome to Shades of Green, the only program here on campus discussing with you all the aspects of our surrounding environment, be it biological, physical, social. We shall all deal with it here on Campus FM 103.7 every Tuesday at 14:30 with a repeat on Fridays at 20:00. So this is Vanessa here, hoping all of you campus listeners are having a good day. Well, now I invite you to sit back, listen in and get a bit educational today. Well, in fact, last week we have spoken about sustainable development, which, as we have discussed, involved a series of processes that allow us to strike a very delicate balance between the comfort of our lifestyles, as they are, and the survival of our ecosystem. Well, this is, as you all come to understand, ultimately reflects on our own survival. One solution which was touched upon briefly was actually the people's awareness of the subject, awareness which comes about by education. Well, Dr. Perch, welcome to the programme.
Hi.
So, do you really think that environmental education presents a tangible solution for environmental problems?
Well, it all depends on what we mean by a tangible solution, in the sense that when you look at environmental problems, they're usually a collection, as we had mentioned in previous editions of this program. They tend to have different facets, different aspects coming from different perspectives. And in order to resolve these issues, usually you need something which is also wide enough to encompass all these interests, these different aspects. Now, the problem that arises is whether you need something which is a quick fix to that particular problem, or whether you need something which is much on a longer term, has a longer term result. And what I'm referring to is basically there are certain issues which have to be immediately tackled. In this case, obviously, legislation is the best way forward, and enforcing laws that protect the environment and reduce damage to it are obviously very, very important. And I emphasize the word enforce the laws that are available. On the other hand, one should also think ahead, in the sense that having laws and enforcing them to control wrongdoings is not enough. You have to anticipate and resolve certain problems before that. The idea of prevention is better than cure. Working upon developing a particular responsibility in individuals so that they do not have to be told not to do something or told how to do something, but they actually respond in a particular way because they believe they are doing the right thing. In the sense, like, for example, if I'm convinced that littering is not in, is not something that I should be doing, I don't need any law to tell me whether to throw things, that it's illegal to throw things away, you know, that sort of thing. It comes naturally for me to dispose of my waste wisely. And what is practically suggested is to have a two-pronged strategy, whereby through education you will be working upon a much longer term and long lasting solution to the resolving of environmental problems. And through legislation, you make sure that wrongdoers or people who don't want to fall in line with the rest of the country's targets can actually be held responsible for their wrongdoings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have spoken about environmental education. So exactly, what do you mean when you speak about environmental education?
Yes, for quite a long time, unfortunately, environmental education was considered as an extension of nature study, in the sense that people were expected to learn about flowers, birds, different habitats. And to add insult to injury, usually the books that were used, particularly in schools, were of British origin, so mm-hmm. people were much more yes. familiar with environments in the British Isles than with local local examples. Luckily, the situation has evolved. However, when we're speaking about environmental education, first of all, we're not speaking about a subject, a school subject. There might be offshoots of it like environmental studies or environmental science, which are subjects, which are examinable, so on and so forth. But environmental education is much more than that. It's something which is much, much, much wider. Mm-hmm. It is something which is the cliche used is from the cradle to the grave, in the sense that it's a continuous process by which an individual goes through a particular process of environmental literacy. Now, the process can be practically highlighted under five major steps. First of all, you go through the awareness phase, where you are becoming aware of an issue, aware of a situation. Then moving on to knowledge, whereby you learn more about the issue that you're becoming aware of. Then move on to, now what I'm saying move on, it's not strictly speaking a clear cut step by step thing. You know, it's a gradual process involving all these five steps. Yeah. You'll be also learning skills, how to communicate, how to discern between knowledge, because nowadays knowledge is easily available from the web, but unfortunately not everything that you download is value-free, in the sense that there might be, for example, people who would like you to believe certain particular aspects, you know, and to promote particular ideas, particularly when it comes to the environment. So you'll be getting skills so that you become not just aware of something or knowledgeable about it, but also know how to get more information and how to communicate what you feel about it, whom to contact to get information, whom to contact to take particular actions, these skills. This whole process actually starts building up a new attitude, which is the fourth category or step, or call it whatever, whereby through these attitudes you start developing a particular set of values, pro-environmental values, where you actually internalize knowledge. It becomes part of your lifestyle, not just you know about something and that's it, it's stale there. And this hopefully leads to the final step, which is participation, where you actually participate in either protecting the environment or else by taking particular actions which improve the environment behind that you're living in.
Mm-hmm. It's like active participation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
actively involved.
That's the major the major goal of environmental education, empowering the individual so that they can actively participate in environmental decision making. Mm-hmm. And this is practically one of the things that when we discussed sustainable development, no wonder that chapter 36 in Agenda 21 is solely dedicated to environmental education. And it is earmarked as being the move that will make Agenda 21 possible.
And Agenda 21 is?
Agenda 21 is basically a summary of the targets and objectives of the whole Rio Conference, which was practically dedicated towards development and human environment. And environmental education was one of the major pillars for this whole strategy to succeed. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell, basically, you can find it also in certain literatures, particularly focusing for schools, that environmental education is education about the environment, where we are looking at the knowledge aspect of it, mm-hmm. the cognitive skills behind that. Education through or in, which basically means that it has to be experiential.
Yes,
you have to
and
be
that is the effective.
Yeah, you have to be sort of focused on what's happening there. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, also on the education for the environment, which is, as you said, the affective domain, where values and attitudes are looked into.
Yes.
But environment education, in a nutshell, is not something which is school-bound, mm-hmm. but it goes beyond that into the community through the formal, informal, and non-formal sectors mm-hmm. as well.
Similar to lifelong learning.
Yes,
what you say is lifelong learning.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is a very long shot from, as you said, what we remember in schools is a nature study, okay? So, again, can you give us a bit of an idea about the focus of environmental education programs within schools this time?
Yes, as regards schools, quite a lot has been done on an informal and, you know, it's something that most of the materials that is being done in schools is either done through the personal convictions of teachers who are practically environmentally literate, and then they feel it's their duty
to illustrate.
To help children develop mm-hmm. certain values. But also NGOs, particularly environmental NGOs, have been doing quite a lot of work as regards schools. First of all, as regards the providing material knowledge which is local. Luckily, we have
is
moved...
Is this easily available?
Yes, considering what I said earlier, that in the 60s, for example, most of the material, not to say practically all of the material available in schools, was practically focusing on a foreign environment. In this case, nowadays, most of the materials used in schools has a local flavor, mm-hmm. without being too insular, in the sense that we're not saying that students shouldn't learn about other environments, but basically to start off with what to understand with understanding what's going on within their immediate environment. I think it's one of the major steps forward. And a lot of NGOs, as I said, have actually produced this material now, and it is easily available. The Militencia sections are, you know, practically expanding every month, and material is easily available. Mm-hmm. And that is why I usually say that as regards awareness as a country, we
Can
have
you
moved
mention
quite
some
a lot.
Of the NGOs that are actually participative in this?
Well, Dinlart Helwa, Nature Trust, Bird Life have always been, obviously there are others, but these are the immediate ones that come to mind. They have been always present in schools mm-hmm. in one guise or another, through activities that they organize, through activities for school children or even for teachers. I know that there have been several instances where these NGOs organized teacher education courses, so that they are made aware of what's available. Now they have moved actively into the production of resource materials that they give to schools, particularly Dinlart Helwa. And basically, this is why I usually say that the awareness phase in Malta has been acquired. It's very difficult to find people in Malta who are not aware of certain, for example, environmental problems that we have, that people are not aware of certain important, the value of certain heritage that we have. Mm-hmm. What we are still lacking, and this is why we need to focus more on environmental education, is the responsibility. We tend to lack this responsibility towards this environment, this particular care. We tend to still focus on the environment as being something out there, and it's not ours. It's the government's responsibility to take care of, or the local council's responsibility to take care of. But as regards schools, we are also moving towards a new, I would say, era, because in the sense that up to a couple of years ago, environmental education in schools used to be focused only on these sporadic activities, like, for example, Arbor Day or Clean Up the World campaign. You know, they just come in the school calendar, they do a talk, open some particular part of the school mm-hmm. garden, mm-hmm. and that's it. And everything's back to normal. Nowadays, a lot of work is being done within the framework of a school development program. Schools are requested to devise a school development program, and most schools are looking into environmental issues that are important in their school grounds, and they are working on those in the sense that they try to improve it by using students or parents, so on and so forth. And one interesting initiative that is being launched is the EcoScola program. The EcoScola program basically is exactly what we've been saying, applied to schools, where schools are requested to form what are called eco-committees, which are principally made up of children. These children have the responsibility of carrying out an environmental audit of the school, looking at what's going wrong, what's going well, you know, that sort of thing. Then they come up with an action plan, and then they try to implement that action plan.
And this is being done now? Is it being implemented?
Yes, in the sense that last year was the first year where it was considered as a pilot year. Mm-hmm. Now it's open to all schools, and there have been quite an interesting amount of schools who have tried to join in. Because eventually, if the school continues to do this particular way of dealing with environmental management, they are actually awarded a green flag, which is a symbol of that they have reached a particular level of satisfaction and commitment. And this is usually, you know, followed year after year, and the school continues to keep that flag in the sense that, as I said, once these things come are integrated within the fabric of the school, then it's much more easy for them to continue year in, year out.
And, well, the thing is this, okay, we start with the school and with children, okay? But how do we move on to adults, to the adult sector? As you said, environmental education is more of a lifelong process. Are NGOs, is there some national committee that takes care of adult education in this aspect?
You've touched upon a very, very sore aspect of environmental education, in the sense that, first of all, as I said earlier, nothing organized on a national level is yet present as regards environmental education. There was an attempt once to start off a national environmental education strategy, looking at different sectors of society, but unfortunately it didn't get much support. It finished off with a report, but the report is very negative in the sense that it registered quite a lot of lack of interest, for example, from different sectors. For example, the National Minimum Curriculum, the present one, does not mention anywhere the need for schools to have an environmental education policy. Also, as regards adult education, we are still in the, I wouldn't say the infancy, the embryonic stage would be much better, of environmental education for adults, for adult learners, in the sense that most of the strategy has been, oh, well, if we do something in schools, then school children can go back home and, you know, inform the adults about it. Well, research has shown that that's not very, very efficient. Okay, it has spin-offs, but one shouldn't rely on that, you know. And the idea of actually, you know, saying, well, we'll expect a new generation by, you know, working on these small children so that when they are adults, that it's self-defeated, defeating. In the sense that whilst you, if we say, well, okay, let's adopt that strategy, while we are forming tomorrow's adults, today's adults are ruining what is available.
So, and when we say, well, charity starts at home, you know, sometimes children do obey the rules once they're at school, but once they go home, they live by the parents' rules and by whatever they see at home.
Yeah.
So that might not really, really, really work. So there is nothing that...
There's nothing organized as regards environmental education for adults. There have been some isolated, sporadic activities by certain local councils, but nothing as a on a national level. Okay, you still can go about, you know, and, you know, just avoid doing any environmental education. It's still very unprofessional, unfortunately, in the way that it is organized, and also, as I said, very sporadic. So you might hear here and there snippets.
Is there any intention of having like a national entity, you know, that takes up responsibility for these?
Yes, as we said last time when we mentioned the National Commission for Sustainable Development, things are changing. For example, up to a couple of years ago, it would have been unheard of to have an environmental educator in a board which will be looking at sustainable development. Don't tell me why, but it was a reality. Certain decision-making fora which actually looked at environmental policies never ever considered the possibility of having an environmental educator. Nowadays, it's become part and parcel of the normal proceedings, you know, that an environmental educator, when it comes to looking at policies, has to be available, in the sense that it's reaching certain goals, particularly the goals outlined by sustainable development, needs a radical change in behavior. It's not just implementing a particular law or introducing a particular technology. It's changing the people's way of life. And in order to change the people's way of life, you have to work on values and attitudes. And the surest way of working on those is through education.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it might sound very long-term and a long-winded process, but it's the only process that will eventually get us somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a change in our philosophy and our way of looking at things. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And that is why the next step forward would be something which is focusing on adult education. Just to give the listeners a preview or a pre-taste, in the pipeline, the National Commission for Sustainable Development is currently initiating a process that will eventually lead towards the setting up of a national strategy for sustainable development. And within this process, there have been quite tangible and clear suggestions that obviously, first of all, this has to be something involving the people themselves. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, in order for people to participate, they have to be educated. By education, now it doesn't mean that they have all to finish off a degree about environment and the environment, but the idea to actually know about alternatives, look at different ways of doing things, understanding the impact of their present lifestyles. All this is a whole process of education, which can be done on the three major sectors. The formal, where luckily things have improved quite well, even a lot of even subjects are including these values within them. In the non-formal, and this is where local councils and NGOs come in, and they've already done quite a lot, although, as I said earlier, it's not really terribly planned in the sense that there is a lot of repetition, for example. Also, certain issues are looked into in much detail that is required.
It's not appealing to the public.
Yeah.
The thing is, well, there are a number of NGOs. Do they all work on their own initiatives, or is there some kind of a group that really joins up?
Yeah, there used to be. Mm-hmm. There used to be. But unfortunately, NGOs, first of all, NGOs, I would say that if it wasn't for NGOs, environmental education would be in the mm-hmm. prehistoric era.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have taken up a lot of initiatives and, you know, have laid down the major, stronghold for environmental education.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the cooperation between NGOs is very, very limited. In the sense, mind you, I'm not saying that there isn't any cooperation,
mm-hmm.
but there is a tendency for NGOs to look inward, in the sense that they tend to be parochial, in the sense that
mm-hmm.
they look at other NGOs as being threat to what they're trying to do. Luckily, we're also moving towards more coordinated type of activities, where a particular activity is jointly organized by 2, 3. Even 4 NGOs, but these are unfortunately very limited examples. When I looked into the history of environmental education in Malta, I had coined this particular period of time that we're going through as the coordinated phase, where basically a lot of people involved in environmental education are realizing that to work in environmental education on your own means a waste of resources that is available. Secondly, you get tired quite easily because you're actually going and discouraged and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way forward is to actually join forces with other people who are doing the same thing and, you know, present a common front. Gradually, this whole idea is catching up. It worked wonders as regards schools. There was a time when schools and university, for example, were on two different points of view as regards environmental education. Now we're sharing and we're working quite a lot as regards environmental education in schools. The same with the ministries, the same with certain departments. we are gradually moving towards a particular phase where most of the work done in environmental education is coordinated and focused. Because unfortunately, that is one of the major points that usually is not addressed.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I was browsing through the internet and I came across various education programs both in Europe and in the US. One, for example, was the North American Association for Environmental Education. The other one was the FEE, which is the Foundation mm-hmm. for Environmental Education in Europe. And they do something, they do have something that's called the Eco Schools.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Is there any school in Malta that's part of, for example, this European, this is the Eco Scola that you mentioned before?
Yes,
is
yes.
it part of this?
Yes, Eco Scola is the Maltese version of it, in the sense okay. that FEE, F-E-E, the Foundation of yes. Environmental Education, has several programs focusing on, like, for example, the Blue Flag, uh-huh, which is
yes.
for marinas and beaches. And one of them is Eco Schools.
Yes.
Now, Eco Schools is practically started off in 1994, and it's spread like wildfire. It's spread in 26 countries.
Yes, in fact.
About 12,000 schools worldwide are actually part of this program, mm-hmm. including Malta.
Oh, that's good.
Now, every school that participates in, they actually name the project in order to it fits with their way of conceiving things. In our case, we named it Eco Scola, but in Ireland, for example, they refer to it as Green Flag,
yes.
okay, because of the green flag that is awarded. Yes, Malta is member of FEE, and
do
we are participating.
Give input? For example, I saw something on the web. Do the Maltese give any input on the web itself?
As I said, we have just started,
mm-hmm.
but if things continue as they are, then there is quite a, you know, an encouraging,
yes,
because even in the pilot phase of the project, most of the schools which were participating, the six schools that participated in the project, were very keen on sharing the ideas with those abroad. And mm-hmm. if you go into the website of Eco Schools, the major aim of the whole project is to actually try out things and share it with the rest.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Patch. So, as you could see, well, information and awareness have been identified as key areas in working towards a sustainable development. Education is essential to demonstrate that our actions do affect the environment. And once awareness is raised, all the necessary values and attitudes, the skill and people's behavior can be developed further. Well, that is all for today from us here on Campus FM. Shades of Green thanks you all for tuning in and hopes that you will join us again this time next week on 103.7 FM. Till then, bye-bye and take care.